Borjovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And it is Tuesday evening. I am here behind the microphone celebrating day 539 of the media grossly underestimating Donald Trump. What, 539 days, of course, since he announced his candidacy for presidency from Trump Tower. And, you know, I just took a little bit of a detour down memory lane and read some of the things that were said back then about actually it was mostly complimentary because nobody took him seriously. That's the best part about it. Yeah, even the CNN piece, I have to say, was moderately bemused. Probably be the best way of putting it. So right now the whole world is coming undone over this Boeing thing. What am I talking about? Trump tweeted again. By the way, how dare he? Tweeting that the contract for the new Air Force One is $4 billion, and that they, you know, that it's just, it's gone out of control, and then he ends the tweet with cancel order, as in a directive, you know, we should cancel the order. Now, remember, when you tweet, this is part of the art of tweeting, is you've got to get your message out in 140 characters or less. And so you're abbreviating things. And it's all about being pithy, you know, about being succinct and making sure that you're communicating what you're intending to say or express in just a really short little blurb. Now, Trump's really good at this, assuming he doesn't have somebody doing it for him. And I'm guessing at, you know, 4 a.m., he's not 3 a.m., whenever it is that he's tweeting, he's not communicating these things with his people. It's actually him directly, you know, sending these things out. He's good. He's pithy. This is sharp. And there's two parts to this. I'll start with the cancel order bit. I will tell you this as a negotiator. If you have an order for something and things aren't going well, the only thing you can threaten is to cancel, to pull out, to withdraw. I mean, liberals love the whole idea of, you know, consent continuing all the way up through the act. So you would think, holy smokes, liberals would get this. I mean, this is actually Donald Trump denying consent. He's withdrawing his consent. You'd think Lena Dunham be all over this. But of course, no such luck. In fact, instead, we have the whole world, the whole pink, red, pinkish world of liberal fandom all in an uproar, disappointed. I mean, I would actually add outrage that Boeing stock has dropped 1.4%. I hope you appreciate the irony of it, of course. I've never seen liberals be so concerned with the Wall Street performance of a defense contractor. But so this is the strange state of affairs that we now find ourselves in the post-Trump election world. And the whole cancel order thing is a starting point in a negotiation. That's what it is. It's not petulance. Yeah, I heard somebody today, some talking moron on TV, talking about how this is petulance. It's not petulance. I can't tell you how many times I've used this in dealing with people. If it's an advertising issue, even with a lease, you know, I've been in a lease before with the firm. And the landlord isn't performing. You know, the guy, you know, who owns the space isn't performing. This is before we had our building and you know, we were tenants. And what do you tell them? There are ways to break leases and you threaten that. Are you, between you and me, am I really serious about breaking the lease? No, I don't really, not going to really break the lease. But it's the worst thing. And might as well just drop the, you know, fire the missile. And it signals strength and it signals, hey, look, I'm going to hold you accountable. So that's what that whole bit about cancel the order. But now let me talk to you about aviation, because I know a little bit about this. And at the risk of sounding like a horribly out-of-touch elitist, I'll tell you this. I love airplanes, and I'm one of the lucky few to actually have one. That's right, Sam Nation One. It's not Air Force One. Trust me. I'm reading here $4 billion. And this, by the way, $4 billion is for two airplanes. It's for two 747-800 airplanes. Now, the 747-800, it's the latest and greatest version of the Boeing. That plane is already out. If you've flown on a big, you know, maybe usually international airlines have bought a bunch of them. If you've flown to Europe or to Asia, there's a chance you've flown on this plane. So it's been out for a few years, but they have to heavily modify it. And the one thing about aviation, I'll tell you this, that it is an absolute, it is a world where it, like none other that I've ever seen, filled with people that assume that everyone who is in it as a customer is made of money, that money grows on trees for them. And there are people in this world that take advantage of customers like nowhere I've ever seen. I'll give you an example. So I remember when I had I bought a used airplane. We had to refurbish it. And I remember wanting to add a DVD player. Can you guess what a DVD player, what they wanted to charge for that? You're wildly off. No. What can you pick up a Blu-ray player for at Costco? What is it? $80? I mean, $80 is like an expensive one at Costco. No. Sam Nation One, they wanted $5,000. See, and I'm giving you this example. I'm just saying, look, if you don't hold these people's feet to the fire, they will literally rob you blind. And so, and against this backdrop of the world going crazy over Trump saying, hey, geez, $44 billion. And he understands it because he owns an airplane. He knows this world. In fact, he's the only president ever to come into office where the numbers actually mean something. He's looking at it and going, you know what? My airplane that I've gilded. Have you seen the pictures of his airplane? I'm not a gold guy. In fact, the first thing I did with my plane was I took all the gold out of it. So I de-Trumped it. But Trump literally took his old airplane apart and gilded it. It's like the Vatican inside. It's horrible. But he understands the cost of it. Unlike anybody else. I mean, it's not like Obama understands any of that or Bush or whatever. You get my point. So he understands what it costs to refurbish an airplane, what to build an airplane, what a brand new airplane costs. By the way, you know what a 747-800 airplane costs just if like the airline buys one? The airline buys one. About $350 million. And I say only, right? Because relative to the, you know, $2 billion that they're charging for. Now, I get they put extra equipment on it. You know, it's a rebuild airplane. It's to military spec. But still, Just think about this for a minute. Do you not have, isn't there some, doesn't your own sense of budgeting, don't you, isn't it a bit of a head scratcher how a plane that is sold to, I don't know, to Delta sells for $350 million and the same plane, modified, perhaps heavily modified, but still modified, same airplane, sells to the U.S. government for $2 billion. I mean, what is that, six times the cost? That's six times the cost. Doing quick math. I'm a lawyer, so if my numbers are off, forgive me. Well, and by the way, isn't the people criticizing Trump for this, aren't they the same people that are always the first to go into apoplectic fits over the, you know, over government waste? And all this money, you know, if I had a dollar for every tear a lib sheds over money spent on, you know, spent on the DOD, Department of Defense, you know, that should be spent on welfare and on healthcare for kids and on, you know, midnight basketball, I mean, I'd be a rich guy. In fact, we could probably solve the drought in California with all those tears. I didn't even have to go too far back. I found a story here. Oh, where is this? I'll tell you. September 6th, in the Fiscal Times, an article was, this is not even that long ago. Pentagon paid Boeing $20 billion in bonuses for shoddy missile defense system. And it's all about this missile defense system, right? It's these missiles, it was the thing was signed in or ordered by President Bush. And it was supposed to be these silos underground that shoot out rockets to intercept missiles. This dates back to, remember Reagan promising Star Wars, that whole bit. But yeah, just $20 billion, just evaporated. And this article comes out and everybody says, well, yeah, I mean, the LA Times piled on this. And they basically they built this thing, spent $20 billion of our money. That's your tax dollars, right? It's not like this isn't fantasy land. This is real cash that was given to Boeing with seemingly little to no accountability. And so lo and behold, we have a president-elect who gets up there and says, what the heck is this? Where's the accountability? What the hell are we getting for this $4 billion? It makes no sense. And it's actually a great time to tackle it because my understanding in reading the story is that we've only spent about $150-170 million. At least that was the quick press release that came from Boeing. It said, whoa, we're only doing R&D right now and you've only spent $170 million. $170 million already, I would say, down the drain on a project. And these costs keep going up. And the thing is what did Obama do when all this was going? This is a project that was already greenlighted, I think in his first term. I'm going to add another thing to this that I don't think anybody's talked about. You know, a lot is said about Trump and his ego and how he likes things done a certain way. And so, you know, this arguably, if it's accelerated, if these planes are built right now, it's slated for something like 2025. But if these planes are built sooner, potentially this is something that he would benefit from directly. And, you know, I like a president, I like any executive who's willing to take a critical look at something that he actually is directly benefiting from. Because last time I checked, I mean, this Air Force One thing, this doesn't benefit you or I, right? This is the plane that the president flies on. And so when the president says, hey, let's get the costs under control for this little, you know, toy/tool that I have for my personal use, that's leadership. Producer Robbie wanted me, I'll share it. He wanted me to mention, because he knows he meets with me every day in my office. And when the firm bought our building in Orange County, what did we do? We had to rebuild the entire inside of it. And that was, we moved in a year ago. My office still isn't built because we're on a budget and we didn't have enough money in the budget this year to build my office. So I'm going to build my office last. I'm going to make sure my people are all taken care of. And I'm not going to, you know, shortchange everybody else. And then gild my office top to bottom. I'm not going to trump it. Now, so on that principle there has always been something really important to me. I like leaders who don't take care of themselves first. In fact, leaders that take care of themselves last. If the ship is sinking, the captain's the last one off. You know that expression. And so here the captain is taking a critical look at an expenditure that directly benefits him. And I like it. I just do. On a gut check, visceral level, as a guy who likes, I mean, I'm a guy that likes nice stuff, and I do, I'm waiting on my office, continue the example, to make sure that it's done right. I don't want to just get it done. In fact, so I'm sort of in temporary furniture and have been for a year, but it doesn't matter. I'll wait to get it done right. And Trump's a get it done right kind of guy, and it dovetails exactly into this BuzzFeed piece that I want to get into. And I'm going to get to Taiwan, too, because that phone call was just brilliant. And I'll tell you more about that later in the hour. But Yeah, but I want to talk about this BuzzFeed piece about him chewing out the guy on the golf course. Did you see this? The way BuzzFeed, and it's this snowflake reporter from Scotland that's just having a little tissy fit about it. And so I want to, when we come back, I want to unpackage this, because I think this is exactly the kind of, this is the kind of behavior that you want from a president. And I think the way it's packaged here is so funny, because if you wouldn't listen to the quote, you wouldn't get to the details, you would think that Trump is just the world's worst person. But isn't that typical? You know, if you just read the headline, you never get the full story. And that's why you listen to this program, Going Beyond the Headlines. Okay, when we get back, this BuzzFeed thing and how it ties in this Air Force One deal. Brilliant stuff. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Call now. Call me if you're interested.
What's your phone number?
800-ABC-KABC.
Ask for the phone number, not the phone letters.
That's 800-222-5222.
Thank you.
Yeah, we just lost Patrick in L.A., who wanted to tell me why he works in the defense industry, why Boeing costs are so high. Yeah, Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'll tell you, I can tell you why. and beyond the obvious of, you know, there is a lot of expensive equipment that goes into the airplane and da-da-da-da-da, there's not that much competition for these goods. And I'll go back to the general aviation example. Remember I was telling you about the $5,000 DVD player? Well, there's only one company that makes that DVD player that is a certain size and that is rated by the FAA to go into airplanes. One company. See, when you go to Costco and you get the DVD player for $80, by the way, incidentally, it's the same DVD player. It is. But it has to be certified. And so what you're really doing is you're paying a lot of money for the certification that it's guaranteed not to explode, which is a good thing, of course, if you're sitting in the airplane. It's a complicated issue, but that's one of the reasons. Okay, there was a BuzzFeed article that came out. When was this? Maybe last week, and I put it in my stack of stuff right away because I knew I wanted to get to it. The title of the piece was "Watch How Donald Trump Treats People Who Work for Him." Now, I know I followed this thing from the very beginning, and I've always operated under the understanding that, you know, for the most part, Trump has people that work for him are pretty happy. And I've operated on that assumption based on just what I've heard from people who've worked within the organization for a long period of time. And also based on the fact that he's got a big organization of people and it's successful. Can't. Okay? It's a pro tip. All right? Anyway. So it is. You can't. You've got to be able to inspire people. Now, inspiring people does not always mean that you are nice. I swear to goodness, you millennials, you don't understand it. I'm telling you, I'm giving you this. Listen to some wisdom here from me. If you want to succeed in the workplace, get ready for people talking straight to you. It may not always be pretty. And so here in this BuzzFeed piece, the writer, his name's Jamie Ross. He's about 26 years old, so, you know, kind of a snowflake. And he's Scottish, so he's a Scottish snowflake, a plaid snowflake. And he writes about Trump visiting the Well, the thing is, there's a Golf Channel special about Trump building his new golf course in Scotland. And by the way, the Golf Channel did hold back on this thing. You know, they held it back. They didn't want it to come out during before the election. And so this thing comes out, and it has some scenes in it where Trump is kind of laying it on some of his people. And so in one scene, he's confronting his greens manager, who's the guy that really is supposed to run the golf course once it's built. And apparently this guy is getting all up in the business of the people that are building the course. And here's what Trump says to him. Let's play the first clip, Robbie.
I got 4 miles of f-ing ocean, right? It's over there. That's the problem. He wanted to take one of the most beautiful holes I've ever seen, maybe the most beautiful hole there is, and play it in a different direction on top of everything where you lose the views.
And now, an ultimatum from the man in charge.
Everybody, I mean, you're driving them all f***ing crazy. I mean,
so he's talking to his employee here. Crazy.
You got to either get along or you got to find something that's going to make you happy. Do you understand me?
Yeah,
I do. I don't know what the f*** the problem is.
I got very angry at him and very upset with him. And he wanted his day in court, and I gave it to him.
Right now, they're building the course. Let them build the course. Leave them alone.
Okay, I get it.
Give them an idea and leave them. If they don't want to use it, don't use it. You're the green superintendent. It's a great job. But your job really hasn't started yet. You're a very strong guy. You're an opinionated guy. I'd probably be like you, too. But look, I got to make a change if you're not going to do it.
This was on thanks. Okay.
All right. Okay. Come on. You know, get smart. Use your f***ing brain, okay?
Yeah, and so it sounds really horrible, doesn't it? But the thing is when we come back, and I want to talk about this because I don't really think it is, and I'll explain to you why. And if you disagree with me, call me, okay? Because I'll hear from you. But when we come back, let's unpackage this because I have some strong feelings about it. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. By her own admission, Hillary Rodham Clinton left the White House. Her and Bill left the White House broke. So broke, they stole furniture.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
We're back, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. John Wolf is absolutely right. And Obama not talking about any recount. The only person to... Wait, Jill Stein, is she still... She's still in the news. Anyone? That's right. Well, look, we're talking about Trump, and we're talking about this piece in BuzzFeed about him abusing his staff on the golf course. This is the course that he was building a little while ago in Scotland. And I guess the reporter here, Snowflake by the name of Jamie Ross, was talking about how Trump is telling this guy O'Connor, who's holding up the whole show and driving his construction people crazy. He goes, look, you're driving them effing crazy. I don't know what the F the problem is. If you don't shape up, I'm going to have to. And then his words are, I'm going to have to make a change. So what you have here is an example of a man, Trump, who isn't afraid to call someone out, okay? I want to clue you in on something. This is how you get stuff done. Now, I don't see any gratuitous abuse here, and I'll play another clip for you that the reporter also took issue with. But I don't see any gratuitous abuse. Instead, what I see is a guy that's like leveling with the guy. He's like, look, listen here. Like, this is it. This is how it's going to be. I need you to get with the program. And the world is just short circuiting over this. And the reporter is characterizing it as abuse. Now, I understand that there's a political filter. Everybody, people don't like Trump. And this guy might have an added, bit of an axe to grind because the reporter is Scottish and maybe these people in Scotland don't like Trump coming in and carving up the countryside and building his golf course. Although, you may know, Scotland is the birthplace of golf, so really it's an appropriate place to build a course. But there might be some of that. But I think there's a greater issue. People aren't used, young people especially, aren't used to being slapped around. And get, you know, I've learned some of the best lessons in life I've learned by employers who weren't afraid to lay it down like it is, who've threatened to fire me, who've cursed at me. And you know, the reason that I was able to take it was because I grew up in a home where I got slapped around a little bit when I didn't listen. Gosh forbid. And so now Trump is slapping around Boeing, you know, and the world's going, oh my God, oh my goodness, and everybody, and they're getting their panties all twisted up over this. And right as we've got this report that comes out about the $125 billion of waste that the Pentagon, money that the Pentagon has somehow lost, poof. And you know, the only people that are screaming about Trump being abusive are you know, these select liberals, these elitists in the press, because the people are loving it. You see Trump's approval rating going up, up and away. I mean, it's a futile effort. I wouldn't look, if you're in the media, if you work for CNN, step into my office. Let me give you some advice. This is futile. Resistance is futile, because you know why? People are so sick and tired of these numbers, this waste. And I think for the first time, you know, if the question is, so how is Trump different from other presidents? I mean, other presidents also are outraged rhetorically about abuse and about waste. The difference is that Trump, for the first time, is a guy who actually understands what these big numbers mean. And you got to ask yourself, do you really know the difference between 125 million and 125 billion? Because Trump can put his mind around 125 million. I think he's a guy that can scrape together 125 million. He understands the value of that number, and he understands why 125 billion is a lot huger. But I really think that most presidents, Republican or Democrat, don't get it. They don't live in real land. These are guys who were governors or senators, and they sat on these committees and they sat in these meetings, and billions here and billions there, and they're throwing it around like Monopoly money. And I'm telling you, you got for the first time a dude who's speaking plain language and is going, hey, cut it out. Watch that cash. And people like it. And you know what? I do too. All right. I want to talk Taiwan when we get back. Taiwana, make America great again. Back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
A police officer in a small town in New Jersey was charged with assault Friday. His crime? He hit a man in a bunny suit. That's right. Apparently, the small town police station had a grown man. It looks like one of those adult babies. You know, it's a fetish thing that people get into. But this guy actually in a bunny suit, ears, he's got a beard. Looks to be about, I don't know, 6'5", 6'6", tall guy. And he's blasting an air horn. You can't make this stuff up. He's blasting an air horn, and he's, you know how loud those things are? He's, bah, bah, bah. And finally a cop comes in, and he's like, what are you doing, man? And he proceeds to pimp slap him. Now, probably never in the history of pimp slaps was a pimp slap so deserved as the one received by this money in a bunny suit. But I'm telling you, charges have been filed because apparently it was unprovoked. So, if you've ever been struck by a police officer while wearing a bunny suit and feel that it was undeserved, you got to call Sweet James. Now you don't want to fuss with any of the don't get. I always say this: don't call anybody, don't talk to anybody. Just make sure you get a good lawyer, or better yet, if you've got some idiot in a bunny suit that slaps you, that's the call that James wants. I'll tell you that. James is the only lawyer we trust here on the program. And, you know, lawyers sometimes aren't trustworthy, are they? You know, you want to get a lawyer that you know, someone who's local, who has served the community for years, and who will get the job done for you. So how do you reach him? It's easy. Just give him a call. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rejofsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. And, you know, Trump goes on, you know, he's part of the transition is you get phone calls, you receive and make phone calls with foreign leaders. And it's perfectly normal stuff. These are going to, after all, be your colleagues, the people that you work with to get things done, as they say, inside the Beltway. Now, you wouldn't think that the whole world would come unglued with Trump's call with the Taiwanese president. And this president, President Tsai Ing-wen, and I don't know, I've seen it both ways, that she called him and he called her. But then you started getting these news stories. I got two here in my stack. Both actually from the New York Post, different days. The day that it happened, Trump may anger China with call to Taiwan. This one by Bob Fredericks. And it goes through and details the history of China-U.S. relations and how this is going to upend 37 years of U.S. policy and just pontificating about how horrible this move was. And, you know, if you take 37 years and you just play a little subtraction, takes you back to, time travel, 1979. Ah, that's right. Jimmy Carter, the great foreign policy genius. Well, now the gods have spoken. That's right. This whole to China policy, ignore Taiwan. Close down the embassy in Taipei. We used to have an embassy. You know that before Jimmy Carter? Jimmy Carter was great at giving up embassies, by the way. I'll tell you that. Expert. So we had diplomatic relations with Taipei, which is the capital of Taiwan, for those of you in Nacogdoches, Texas. But I bring this all up to say, why did Carter give it up? Because China bullied him. That's right. China bullied him, and Carter was an dolt. Still is. Was an absolute weakling when it came to foreign policy, and he folded like a house of cards. And so I tell you, you know, you just because something is tradition, and to him, he's going to do what's right for America. Since just up against the clock, when I come back, I'm going to explain to you why this is good for America and why it fits in with everything else that we've already talked about this hour, including the Boeing thing. All right, back after this. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Don't believe what you hear. Conventional wisdom has underestimated the Trumpster at every turn.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
You know, I think I stumbled on some fake news just now. Hot off the presses here. Where is this? Fox Business? This is nonsense. It says here millennials will boost housing market in 2017, according to the Toll Brothers. That's what hell? Nope, not happening. Okay. So this Taiwan call with Trump. First of all, I have it on good authority. The call was arranged by Dole. I have some people on the inside letting me know that he made the call and was unavailable, or she made the call, he was unavailable, and then he called her back. So that's the corrected version of how it all went down. But, you know, the first bit of news that came out, again, going back to the New York Post here, it was unclear. I'm quoting, if you can't tell. It was unclear whether Team Trump was signaling a broad change in U.S. policy or if the call was an unintentional blunder. Guys, you guys are so freaking stupid. You're so stupid. You continue to underestimate this person. Please continue to underestimate him. Because, of course, then the Chi-Coms got out and immediately mocked diplomatic rookie Trump. So basically now Trump's getting assailed by both the U.S. media and the Chinese newspapers. Might as well be one in the same. I wonder what that C. Maybe that C in CNN stands for Chinese instead of Clinton. But then there was a great piece that came out in the Chicago Tribune. Trump's Taiwan call was not a mistake. It was brilliant. And quoting a source identified as John Bolton, who I believe will be Trump's pick for Secretary of State, the quote was, "The president of the United States will talk to whomever he wants if he thinks it's in the interest of the United States, and nobody in Beijing gets to dictate who we talk to." And this is why I think that ultimately Trump is going to pick Bolton, because Bolton most closely conforms to his worldview. And that's just it. We do billions and billions and billions of dollars in trade with Taiwan. And why are we going to stick to the stupid idea and notion that we're going to follow Jimmy Carter's lead on ignoring them? That makes about zero sense, doesn't it? And then there's the extra added benefit, just as John Bolton says here. Because remember when I told you how Trump in that tweet to Boeing, when he says, cancel it, talking about the order, and everybody went haywire, you know, crazy. Hey, how can he cancel it? We've committed. Our word is good. We can't do it. And I explained to you how that's the starting point in negotiation. If you're in a deal and it's going sideways, you threaten to walk. I mean, isn't that what you do in relationships, right? Isn't it? You don't like your boyfriend. You're like, hey, dude, shape up or I'm out of here. Trust me when I tell you this. Trump is sending a message to China with this. And he's saying, I don't give a rat's rear end about what the last guy did or the clown before him. I'm my own guy. I'm going to look at everything with fresh eyes. And you know, I'm going to talk to Taiwan if I want to. That's exactly right. And you know, he underscores this when he says, when he sent out a tweet, did China ask us if it was okay to devalue their currency? Tax our products going into their country, but not tax their products going out? Or to build a massive military complex in the middle of the South China Sea? I don't think so. Trump's right. Didn't ask. And so what he's letting China know is he's in charge. He's going to throw everything upside down if need be. He's going to do it. And they just need to really come to the table ready to talk. And deal. And that is going to be good for America. All right, back here tomorrow night at 7 p.m. John Wolf with the news next. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
KABC.